Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. I'm going to give this one more try. I released a podcast about the core of frozen fears, and it cut off at 18 minutes. And one of the comments was like, this is the greatest thing. This helps so much. And I thought, well, I didn't even know I released it because it was scheduled to release today. And it was an accident because I hadn't finished it. I'm just redoing the whole thing here for you. Now I'm going to release it just a few days later. There were 70 people that watched it within just a few hours. I suggest you listen to this because I usually if I redo something, I make it more concise and clearer. Let's see how it goes. We don't want to be too reductionist here, but there are basically two core fears that are driving it all. And when I say emotional repression, I'm talking about the first core fear. So for me, it was the first one of the two core fears that I discovered. I went into my chronic pain, and I had no idea that I was afraid of anger, expression of anger, until I went into my chronic pain and said, I can get angry at my bullies. I could have fought back. I could have gotten angry at dad. And my chronic pain contracted pretty forcefully. And the more I did it, the more it contracted. It was like trying to tell me, no, you can't. You can't. You can't. You're afraid of that. And I learned there's a core fear creating suffering because it was actually creating the pain. I saw it directly. I trusted that because the research said that buried anger, the fear of that anger drives a lot of chronic pain. I healed that, developed KI with Dan. The first core fear was developed as soon as KI came out in the repression inquiry, 2020 or after. But there was some work that we all had to do because this is a path where you have to do your own work. As a teacher, you can't teach anything that you haven't done in this work. You have to literally walk the walk. So I had some final layers to work on, but just like everyone else who hadn't done repression, you don't know where it goes if you haven't done it. So I had to discover where it goes in this modality, and it goes to the second core fear. And the second core fear is a fear of being rejected, hurt again, humiliated, or losing people. And that's also in the science. I'll show it to you. But you can find it in your body, that second core fear. The issue is that you can't find these core fears very easily at all if you're doing first or second dimension spiritual practice. So meditation, mindfulness, and most forms of inquiry don't even touch these core fears because it's like Bessel van der Kolk says, trauma doesn't arise as a memory or anything that you can process. It's a reaction. And I would just add, this reaction comes from a mind-body connection, these frozen fears in the body. And that's also responsible for the sense of separation. Speaking of non-duality. And that's why trauma work and non-duality are perfectly merged together to end suffering. Because the trauma work dissolves the sense of separation in the body. Our work does. But I had to discover that second core fear, which for me, it was just me, it was a fear of being humiliated or rejected because of the bullying from childhood and growing up gay. And then right connected to that was my other core fear. I can't get angry. And because of those two core fears in my life, I developed, just like you, into false ego consciousness for safety. So I'm unlovable. Was Scott from the time he was very little until he got to spirituality. That's just how I felt. But yet that's something that was just at the surface. So let me explain this. The main duality I've learned because of these core fears being discovered is not what we say it is. The main duality is that here at the surface, at the tip of the iceberg, we experience only what is safe enough for us to experience. We're just surviving. But what's buried is the other half of the duality. And most of what is buried. It's the unprocessed fear that creates that sense of separation. It's energetic. So as long as we're mulling about, processing, allowing, being mindful, resting and being with anything that's arising, we're staying safe from what's buried. And that's the bypass. Once I discovered the first core fear and then the second core fear and developed repression inquiry, there was no longer a bypass. there was no longer a process by which I could avoid. And so then I started to resist, like you. Like, I don't think my pain is really emotional, I would say to myself. Not trusting my body and going back in and finding, yes, it is. It's because I'm afraid of anger and I'm afraid to be humiliated, and I can feel that in the chronic pain. But when I come out of it, I would come into false land and ego identification for safety. And I would say, this pain is physical. And that would keep me from having to feel those fears, to deal with them. And that's how everything works at the surface. I became suicidal and didn't understand that my system just found that to be safer than dealing with these core fears. Because the suicidal ideation came right before the discovery of the core fears. So I was still unconscious to why suffering was coming up. And then the suffering of suicidal ideation came up, which, as you could argue, is one of the worst forms of suffering. But that was enough to tip the scales for me to discover what is going on here. Why is that coming up? Unless there's just something more to it, I knew. And I went back in and I found those core fears. People can't find these core fears, as I said, in like meditation, mindfulness, and most forms of inquiry. So what we're doing is bridging people from the practice that they're in, that's a bypass, to discovering the first core fear. And that's the first phase of KI. You will learn through what we call a starter network or starter net that your first core fear is accessible for you in spiritual practice for the first time. The root of your suffering, which could be the buried hurt, the buried sadness, anger. And then that's what the science says drives suffering. So you've contacted one of the core drivers of suffering from the beginning here. But you have to develop a skillful practice and gain the capacity for that practice and for it to work on that core fear before you can even bring in that second fear. Because when you start KI, you're not even conscious of the second fear. You're just becoming conscious of that first one, which is, I can't get angry. So we help you work on that and make that conscious. As you become more conscious to that mind-body connection and you see energy transmuting, you'll become more conscious of this second fear, which will help you discover through a series of somatic tests that go under the water of the iceberg. And there it is. And it's real close, intrinsically tied to the first core fear. So if you hold back sadness, there's one core fear. If you're afraid of losing people, there's the other core fear. Can you see the connection? Because of the nature of sadness or grief repression, that your core fear would be loss. And that's real for people who have that repression. But it isn't for people who bury anger, although they like to think it. Often, people who bury anger are afraid of being rejected or hurt again. That's their core fear. They also have a fear of losing people, like if they get angry. But the deepest core fear in their body is the fear of getting hurt again or rejected and then expressing the anger. Those two core fears lie at the root for them. The hurt repressors, they have that core fear, I can't show hurt, can't be vulnerable. And then I'm afraid of being hurt or rejected. Two core fears. And then everything else, essentially everything else, not exactly, but mostly everything else is just conscious and at the surface, at the tip. There's some gray area there because, for example, shame can feel very buried, but it isn't, because we can feel it. And anything you can feel or experience or think is safe enough for you to survive with. You know, your system won't produce what it thinks is unsafe. So shame, not only is it safe, we'll show you what we mean, you produce it for safety, but it protects you from the true drivers, which are the core fears under the water. Shame is a non-starter in relationships. It will shut conversations down. With addiction, it'll keep people from getting help. With mental health issues, they will stay stuck. It's protecting us from actually ending the suffering, because our system says that going under the water where the core fears are is terrifying, and that almost any form of suffering is better than that. But we're just not conscious of that mechanism. You have to remember that when you're sitting here, you can't just think about this. You have to do the work and become conscious in your body to become aware of this direct experience and get your mind out of it. Let your mind just be the thing that expresses what you discover. That's what I do. I'm never leading with theory. I'm always expressing what I've discovered already. And I think that's the best way to be on the path, so that you trust your experience. And what we do is we provide a context so that you are sure to get to the core fears. See, our context is not to get you in your head, it's to get you in your body, to help you in practice, to not bypass those core fears, which is what you've done up until the time you got to KI, most likely. That's what almost everyone finds. There's not been much exception to that, that the bypass gets discovered. And then as you get the core fears consistently into inquiry, then now you've got, that's a powerful practice, just so powerful that it'll kick you out of it into resistance. But that's what we work with, because it's supposed to do that. When resistance comes up, that's just something at the surface. That's being produced by the repression below. And so, you know, procrastination, no, we produce that. We're not conscious of it, but that gets produced here at the surface. Sabotage, avoidance, we choose that. That's the fear. We need that until we're clearer and more conscious, mind and body. Awake to all this fear and transmuting that into our life force. That's the beauty of this work. It's not about ending suffering. That's just the first step. The suffering ends because you make the core fears conscious. The suffering has to go away because that suffering is being created at the surface for safety and love. But what happens is that you discover yourself. Now you're actually embodying what you are. The main duality is no longer driving you. You're aware, for example, that you're angry. You have to process that now. But as you process it, you find core fear connected to that. Like, you're still afraid of it. But as you process that, you're no longer afraid of it. And you're no longer suffering because of it, because of some fear of it. So it gets integrated, or sadness gets integrated into your being. You don't become a sad person. If you had sadness repression, you were already a sad person, but you buried it. By making it conscious, that fear dissolves, and it's just sadness. Welcome, allowed, it comes and goes. Same with anger or whatever you buried. And as you clear the emotional repression, that frontline fear of being afraid of being humiliated, rejected, hurt, that diminishes directly in proportion to the other fear, because they work together for self-protection. And then you start trusting yourself naturally, because you're not driven by the unconscious fear. That's now made a part of your being. Your life force is online. You can say what you want. You have all the qualities of awareness. You have the power. You have the vulnerability. You have the wisdom that you can only get through making frozen fear conscious, to see the most depthful insights regarding where suffering comes from, how separation forms, how and why you suffered, and how there was a purpose behind all of it, and that you chose it from the unconscious level. When you do this work, you become conscious enough to own all of that. Therefore, there's a deep self-compassion and compassion for others that you can't get when you avoid the core fears. There's an empathy that's real, because it's not an identification for safety. We're no longer people who bury anger and just think we're really empathetic and others aren't. We see empathy as a quality of what we are in everyone else. Some people just hide it because they're afraid, and that's it. The fact of having empathy doesn't make us better. We're not empaths, really. A lot of us were just people who were afraid of anger, and we weren't being authentic. We're not compassionate people. That's something that people try to own in spirituality. Compassion is a natural attribute of what we all are. And when we try to own it, we create division out of these spiritual concepts. the love, the light, and the bliss can be divisive because it makes people chase after that and avoid the darkness. It just adds duality. When we start chasing all the good stuff, the positive states, we're avoiding from the core fears. To be fully integrated is not to do any of that. It's just to be yourself. And you can't know what that is as long as you have these core frozen fears. You can't wake up to awareness and ignore these fears and expect freedom, because these fears drive the suffering. And they'll continue to drive it after you awaken to awareness, because generally that is not embodied, and therefore the fears continue running things, but it becomes so subtle that you can actually, like I did, get a disease not understanding the bypass and then wonder where the disease came from. And yet the science says, well, you leave yourself open. If you take away your coping mechanisms, like addiction, you leave yourself open to potentially another disease coming from repression. And I would say, and the science will back it up, and it's starting to, that if you go towards awakening and you're just avoiding buried emotions, you leave yourself susceptible, like me, to disease, chronic pain. How many people are addicted after they expose themselves to Eastern practices? That's not a coincidence. None of it is. These teachers who announce their sickness, or these scandals or infidelity that you hear, nothing is a coincidence. It's all being driven by these core fears, and connected to them are unmet needs that we all have. And yet so many people in spirituality claim that we don't have to deal with those, or we don't have those anymore. That's a bunch of anger and hurt repressors and sadness repressors who have buried unmet needs from childhood and came to spirituality just to ignore it, innocently enough. But what we're doing is programming each other to think that that's the right way. And when you start talking about that, some people run. That's because you've always been running from that. And spirituality can't save you from your unmet needs. In fact, if you have unmet needs, you'll be driven by those here in spirituality to stay safe and get love, approval. We got to take this seriously. We can't just throw things at each other like, oh, this is just therapy. No, it's not. No, the core fears are driving our suffering. This is awakening and embodiment. This isn't the only way, K.I., but it is a way to finally end suffering. The attachment styles are also connected to these frozen fears in a very simple way. One of the core fears, let's say, being afraid to express the anger, and the other one is, let's say, afraid to get rejected. Remember the two core fears? Somebody with that might find that their core fear makes them disconnect from people to stay safe. They learned it. Their needs weren't met when they were kids. So they learned to disconnect and avoid that rejection and hurt and those needs not being met. And so from those core fears and that repression, that person becomes the kind of person who can't be intimate. It's too scary. And so the avoidance is, even though they need love, is the way that they protect themselves. And that's all the same fear. We need love and we're afraid of it, because we might get hurt, rejected, or have to express anger or hurt. So our attachment styles are connected, like the need for reassurance comes straight from the core fears. We're afraid to get hurt or to lose people. Here comes the attachment style, the anxious. Tell me we're okay. Tell me we're gonna get back together, right? Or you're not gonna leave, are you? Same core fears. The combination of those attachment styles, same core fears. We just develop differently for safety, but it's still fear. The trauma responses, same thing. Fight, flight, freeze, fawn. Remember, trauma doesn't arise as a memory or programming. It arises as these responses. driven by these core fears. So when we fight, that is often connected to one of the core fears of feeling and expressing hurt or sadness. The anger might be safer, and that's our trauma response coming from that core fear. If we freeze, often but not always, that's buried anger. We're afraid of being ourselves. That freeze protects us from one of those core fears, expressing that anger, but also the other fear of getting hurt. So the freeze is self-protective. The fleeing or flight response is again self-protective around some emotion that we've buried, one of those core fears, and the fear of getting hurt or rejected. The fleeing is a natural response. What we need these responses until we don't anymore. But we have to dissolve the frozen fear before we get to experience something new, something other than trauma response, authenticity. We have to thaw out those fears though, because these trauma responses are forced for safety. And so we can't resolve issues when we're going into trauma response at the core, and then we don't recognize it as a trauma response. And then we process stories, which are not the core, or identities. That's not it. Shadows, not it. See, that's all at the tip of the surface. What's driving it is under the water, this fear. And spiritual practice just misses it, because the core fears want it that way, because we're seeking love and approval. We don't want freedom. The fears are not looking for freedom. Understand that. When you make it conscious, it's the last thing they want. That could be threatening. Safety. So we need to make that conscious, see? We can't bypass that because it's driving things. And this is what the trauma researchers have been trying to tell spirituality, but the language hasn't worked, because the spiritual language has its language, the pointers, and the trauma researchers use a different language. We're talking about the same thing. It's just a language thing. And I think that by separating it, many of us have bypassed the core fears. By going over to spirituality and assuming trauma isn't a piece of it, or going to the trauma research and thinking that awakening to awareness isn't part of it, but it's all the same. Healing. And you have to awaken to awareness along the way, because only awareness can open to these fears. There's only awareness gives you the capacity to transmute these fears. No ego could do that, because the ego is produced from the fears. Who you think you are is not going to wake up or be free. What you really are, the awareness will be recognized as you welcome all these energies into awareness, and the identifications that were being produced for safety go away, leaving presence. There's my 5-minute bell. I may take less than that. I just wanted to make the point that everything comes from that. The attachment styles, the unmet needs. These frozen fears are right connected to the unmet needs, because it's one of them is a need for safety coming straight from these fears. A need for love is also coming from these fears, because we never got that love. We didn't get our needs met. We never experienced what we really are, the love that we are, so we go looking for it as an unmet need. And we're afraid. We're so afraid of it because of these fears. They're driving it all. So everything you're experiencing at the surface is driven by this. And the question is, when will you go below the surface? Or will you just stay safe processing the stuff that arises, or being with it, or saying you're the awareness to which it comes and goes, when you're producing all of it, all of your suffering that's coming from the emotional? If you're interested in discovering that, the best way to do that with me is the one-on-one 90-day program, intensive. It's a little bit extra money, because that allows me to come into your life more. Part of my codependency is undervaluing my service and overextending myself. So I've changed all that. If you're not quite ready to do the one-on-one, well, if you are, please take the repression test, repressiontest.com. Come talk to me through the link here, which is free, so I can explain the program and we can see if it's a mutual fit. But if you're not quite ready for that one-on-one of any kind, because there's also a lower price program that I do one-on-one, but there's a Jumpstarter group. So for that, you don't come to talk to me. You just go to the newsletter, take the test at repressiontest.com. Then you're on the newsletter and you'll see the Jumpstarter group, which is a group setting to learn KI in the newsletter. Thanks for listening.